Hello there, everyone. Of course, this is me, BluesFan55, with the Bluescast. Last time I did this was in January of 2019, and a lot has changed since then. Of course, I did it back then with my old player, Joseph Lombardi, who is now retired. I recreated with Mitchell Vanderheiden, and everything has been different in regards of career. Of course, Lombardi was decent. All he did was win a lot of gold medals and somehow earn his way onto the Hall of Fame ballot, which is insane because he wasn't really that good. Vanderheiden's been totally different because of actually had better performances at the juniors level so far, actually won stuff that wasn't gold medals, which has been awesome. And it's just, I'm really enjoying the sight more with this player than I guess I had did with the last. So I said back in January that I was gonna do this again. Obviously didn't happen, so I have a question for Frith, who asked about my Anchorage experience. I settled in there, how the LR is, thoughts on last season. Obviously, that was a long time ago. So I'll just summarize it as my experience there as a whole. And it was just great. Obviously, I didn't really enjoy it when I first got in there. My entrance was definitely interesting. My welcome from a couple people was interesting, but I almost asked out, which would have been dumb because I honestly, looking back on it, that was really stupid, and I really enjoyed my time there, and I'm still in the LR all the time. Obviously, Ass and GA do a great job of running things there. They've had some fantastic drafts, and of course, won the cup there in S51. We had a great team. Guys like Budgie, who's Ian Venables, currently sharing starts in Hamilton. Ferda, Augustus Wang, who was our captain that season. Larry Butler, that's Stan Hansen, one of my teammates in New England, and of course I was there as well. And it was just a fantastic season as a whole. LRS, of course, as I've mentioned, is great, active all the time. And going back on the experience player-wise, besides that, I won the SMJHL Awards Committee MVP in S53 somehow. I scored 52 points, which is actually a point worse than the season before. I was captain that season, which was also an honor to be voted captain. I feel like I made a good mark on that team. I don't think I'm gonna get my jersey number retired or anything, but Anchorage is a place that I love. I love being in there all the time, and if there's any place that I would want to go to in the SMJHL when I recreate again, it would have to be there because it's just such a great place overall, despite what some people think about us. It's just a bunch of good people there who I am very happy to call my friends. And the next questions are from Otay, the Beans Man himself, father of the BHN, who asks, "How do you feel about the trade, and how long do you yourself staying in New England?" Of course, this offseason I was traded. I was drafted by the New Orleans Specters, played a season there, and then got traded after the Challenge Cup ended in four games. We'll mention that later, but honestly, I feel like the trade is probably the best thing that could have happened to me. In New England, I have a locker room that I totally feel comfortable in. I'm gonna get more time as a player to play, make a mark on a team, and I've settled in really quickly in New England, and it's a place that I enjoy. I'm gonna definitely see myself staying there for a very long time with this player because I won a cup, and I'm just content to stay with the team for a long time now. Of course, at the end of Lombardi's career, I definitely went ring chasing before realizing, holy crap, I'm cursed in the playoffs, and I went back to San Francisco and retired there. But I don't mind staying in New England for the rest of my career, to be honest with you. It's a place that I enjoy being in. I feel like the team's going to be going in a good direction soon. A lot of draft capital. I really like the prospects that we have like right now, guys like Zima and Flew, top good earners. It's just a good, great place overall. And I'm loving it there, and I can't see myself moving anywhere soon. And are you a fan of the beans movement? And that's an easy answer. Of course I am. I love seeing beans getting spilled. I think the BHN is probably the best news conglomerate we have in the SHL right now. Yeah, I said it. You could come at me, but I totally think that the Beans movement is a good thing. I like that it's all spearheaded by first gens as well. Next group of questions is from Carpy48. What does your podcast have that others don't have? And that's a good question. I could say the inconsistency in that the last time I did this was a year ago, and I said I was going to do this 6 months, 7 months ago, and I didn't. So I could definitely say there's the fact that I don't do this very often, but also because I just think I have passion for the league. Obviously, quarantine has led to me spending more time on the site as a whole and really just kind of learning more about it, developing my own takes on stuff. And I just like talking about things, and the SHL happens to be one of those things. So I guess that's what my podcast has. And biggest surprise this season so far, positive or negative? And getting asked that honestly is hard because there are so many surprises so far. So I'm definitely going to be mentioning a lot. So first, we'll start off with my own team, New England. Obviously, New England is in a retool right now, sold off a bunch of our good players. Players like Guy Zeng, Dick Clapper, Rex Kirkby, and Boris Poroshenko all gone. And I forgot Ola Rackstrom as well. So that's 4 2K players and a 1.4K player gone in a season. That's basically your top six, half of your top six, not even half, more than half of your top six, and your best defenseman, one of the best defensemen in the league, may I add, in Kirkby, who's having a great start in New Orleans. And we're currently 7-4. We were the team to end Buffalo's undefeated streak. We beat them in overtime today, which was awesome. And then we went 2-0. We've beaten Chicago twice. We beat Buffalo and we beat Hamilton, both in OT for those two teams. And we've started off honestly really well. Looking at the scoring for us so far, obviously, we've had some really good performances from Slap McShoddy, who is our captain this year. He leads us in scoring with 14 points. Jakub Bucevski as well. That first line of McShoddy, Bucevski, and Van Otter all have double-digit points. Dominic Montgomery, Bilbo, who we got in a trade from San Francisco, 8 points so far, starting off really hot. I have 8 points somehow, which is surprising because that's almost half of my point total from last season. I wasn't expecting to start off this hot. But we've obviously been riding good performances from the top line, solid defense, and Aces player Franz Eller coming in as a rookie. He's currently gone 7-4-0, 926 save percentage, and 2.8 GAA. He's been really good for us so far. And that's only the first one. And next, we go to Toronto, who I took the over on this season betting wise, and I expected them to start better. Even though obviously they had one of the hardest schedules in the league to start off with in their first 10 games, going up against all powerhouses. Teams like Hamilton, Buffalo, Chicago, Great Lakes is a bloodbath. I was expecting them to do better. They are winless right now, worst team in the league, which obviously I expect that to change because they have you, Carpi, one of the best goalies in the league. Bunch of good young players like a Rich's player, Bobby Lane, ML's scrub of a player, Axel Mazaros, Jack Kanoff, Urson Zimmerman, one of the best shot blockers in the league. I obviously expect them to take a jump up. Of course, the signing of Keith Wien free agency helped that too. Getting a young player of that quality is always good. And I do expect that record to definitely get better as the season progresses, but I obviously wasn't expecting them to be that bad. And then Tampa Bay, not bottom of the league, one in the first sim. They're 2-9 right now, obviously riding the hot hand of Benjamin Blue, who is their best player. I don't think I was expecting Tampa Bay to be honestly as good as they are right now. I was expecting them to have like one win, and they have two. So props to Trella and Dwight. I think they're doing a good job running things there so far. And then I think the last one that I have is San Francisco. Obviously, the announcement came out like an hour ago that they hired their new GM and that guy 91, also known as Henrik Lekberg Osterman. But the Pride, after selling off all of those assets, Montgomery, Lockhart, all gone. Montgomery, Lockhart, the two biggest and best defensemen, both gone. You'd expect them to not be that good, and they are currently 5-6. They've beaten New Orleans. They beat New Orleans in the first game in their first game of the season, a shootout. Obviously, getting Jesus Christ in a trade that was pretty bad. Was interesting, and he's only played two games actually. So they're riding Cillian Kavanaugh, who is 5-6, 910 save percentage, and one shutout. I think it's smart that they're going with Kavanaugh over Christ, even though they did pay a steep price for Christ. And they're getting some really good production from their first line. Players like Vince Revert and Jeff Brogan are definitely performing to the best of their capabilities right now. Brogan with 13 points, and Reaper currently has 11. That top line has been doing pretty well for them. Of course, Reaper and Brogan also have those 420 million, 69-year contracts, which you'd expect to get handled at one point in time. There's a lot of, questions about where that team is going, and I think their performance, they're definitely overperforming right now. That's something that I think we are all surprised to see, and it's something that I think will change. I don't expect them to drift to the bottom of the West because Minnesota is not doing that good. And I guess I have one more surprise in Winnipeg. They're always considered to be the best of the worst in the West, and I thought they would definitely be doing better than what they are right now. 2-7-1, that's obviously not where you want to be, especially with that good young team that I think they have. Obviously, they have young players like Adam Barron, who is a first overall pick, Bale, and Strom Chamberlain, who's struggled so far this season, 4.18 GAA, 898 save percentage. They've been getting good production from Nick Brain, their almost 2K center, 14 points, but they've got nothing besides that. I think you would expect players like Crudele and Shepherd McLeod, who they recently acquired, to produce more, and they haven't. But I definitely expected more out of their defense too. Magnus Liljeström, Zlatan Ibrahimovic Jr., Adam Barron, and the 2K McScruff, all of whom are fantastic players, plus Zizoguni, they're all going to, in most cases, they're at 1K or below 1K, but on pace to hit 2K. Because I think Ibrahimovic Jr., top of his class, Liljeström, near top of his class, Barron, second in his class, they're all on pace, in my opinion, to hit 2K, and I think Winnipeg, if they keep all those pieces, will have a fantastic back line, but obviously this season has been more of a growing year for them. I thought they might make a push for the playoffs. Obviously, I'm wrong so far, and that's really it for those surprises. I think they're all kind of. I think for Toronto, definitely negative. New England is positive. I'd say San Francisco and Tampa Bay also fairly positive, while the surprise for Winnipeg has to be negative, and I think outside of performance so far, I think the negative surprise of the season has to be the whole fiasco with player roles. Of course, New Orleans, Chicago, and Edmonton all rolling some suspect lines. Edmonton doing it multiple times. Obviously, not a good look for them. It's not really good if you do that twice. It's obviously a negative surprise role-wise because when HO has to come out and make a ruling on that within a week of the season starting, it's obviously not good. And it's just kind of bad. We should be able to build our players whatever way we want them to, but I think with roles like crease clearing and agitator that obviously come at a cost to the performance of other players, I think there needs to be a limit on that. And I think HO, with what they did currently, did the best they could on that. Next is from Zomp, Ethan Price, captain of the Outlaws, who asks, "What is your favorite cereal?" I would say my favorite cereal is probably multigrain Cheerios because they're just good. They're kind of sweet, but not the sweetest, so they kind of fit into that profile well, and they're even better with milk. So I would say multigrain Cheerios because I'm a bit of a wimp. Next question from Soffle, who asks, "What's it feel like to score a game-winning goal for the Cup Series and then get traded almost immediately?" Interesting, to say the least, because I think if you read some of my media pieces at the beginning of the over the past couple of seasons, you'd know that I wasn't really enjoying it in New Orleans. To be honest, I didn't feel like I fit into the LR much. And the whole Serpy situation that happened right after the trade deadline last season also didn't help. Obviously, during that time, unbeknownst to me, I found out right after the Cup ended, Joe and Ace had worked out a deal that would be sending me, a top prospect in Urban Cassius, that's Speculadora, or Pack, one of the premier journeymen in the league with Xavier Paquette. Stein Nielsen, board on 31. I think he's a decent prospect, and a couple of picks in exchange for Rex Kirkby. That's ass, my old GM and juniors, who, if there was one player that I wanted to play with in that deal, it would have to be ass, because he's just one of the funniest people I've ever met. And he's built one of the best defensemen in the league, as well as Boris Poroshenko. That's the Y-man. So, in summation, that's two of New England's best players in exchange for two former first-round picks, a first-round pick, I believe it was a second-round pick as well, and another decent prospect. Obviously, I didn't know about that, as aforementioned, until after the Cup ended. And when we went on that playoff run, everything kind of started to change, because I expected Vander Heiden to score at least 20 points last season. He scored 18. So I was like, oh, great. My guy sucks. Definitely a bit premature to say that. And then I started scoring in the playoffs. I had 12 points in the playoffs, including that Cup-winning goal. And I kind of started to realize, holy crap. I think I kind of want to stay in New Orleans now, because my contract originally was up at the end of this season. I was going to be a pending free agent, and I'd said in a media piece that I'd written before the playoffs, kind of explaining my side of the whole Serpy thing, that I was planning on testing free agency, but I wasn't sure about it. And then once we won the Cup, I was like, I think I'm going to have to stay here now. And then Joe messaged me about the trade, and I was like, oh God, is it like done? Because like, I want to stay. And once I kind of realized that they couldn't back out, I thought to myself, this could be a good move for you. Ace said that I was going to be one of the key players on that team, sliding into a leadership role already, which surprisingly I have. I was voted as one of the alternate captains for the Wolfpack this season, which is an honor, having been on the team for like not even a month, I think. And to be named alternate captain is just honestly awesome. And it's just great. I wasn't expecting it. And I as I've said earlier, I just really, really love New England right now. But I was definitely, going back to the feelings, I was shook, to say the least. I was surprised. I was crying tears of joy after scoring the Cup-winning goal. Because I'd won the Challenge Cup, which is obviously something you aim to do. And once you do, it's just, it's like you're on cloud nine. It's like you're high on something, to be honest. I was going nuts. And then once you find out you're traded, it's kind of like that goes down a bit. Because I wasn't expecting to get traded at that point. Because I thought, you know, I'm finally enjoying it here now. I want to stay. And then I got traded, which, of course, me before the playoffs would have been super happy with. And I'm definitely still super happy with. But at the time, I was, you know, just very surprised. It came out of nowhere. And once it happened, and once I found out I fit into New England, it, almost immediately, because they have that pipeline with Anchorage. There's a lot of, you know, ex-Anchorage players who have played for the team, and a lot of guys who I knew who were in the LR as well. I felt great about the transaction, and obviously I think my performance so far and the team's performance as a whole has just made me feel better about that trade and fitting in with New England. Next is from the captain, our Slapton, as we like to call him, Slap McShoddy, BBJYGM, who asks, how many pods can a podcast cast if podcasts could cast pods? Which is a tongue twister, and I think the simple answer is, I don't know. You don't know how much wood could a woodchuck chuck if a woodchuck could chuck wood, so you could know how many pods could a podcast cast if podcasts could cast pods. And the next question is obviously about the surprisingly hot start I had. What do you attribute to your PPG pace during your first 7 games on New England? Obviously, I've scored 1 point since then. I honestly don't know. Probably because my player's improving. With this next update, I'm gonna hit 1.1K. I should be at 1106, I believe. I think it's just improvement as a whole. And even though I'm playing The New England is definitely worse than New Orleans. I think it's also the fact that I'm getting more time on the ice, and since in the preseason, I was simmed with that line, which is me, Sasha Danglechek, that's Dangle, and Rafe Ulrich, which is Raven, I believe. It just helped, I think, get chemistry between the three of us in FHM, and that's kind of attributed to our hot start. I think I'm actually leading that line in points. Yeah, I am, because I have 8, Danglechek has 7, and Ulrich has 6. I think it's just line chemistry, the fact that I'm getting better TPE-wise, and that I just have more ice time as a whole. That's definitely, that's what I would attribute to the fact that I've started off so hot, and hopefully I can break 20 points, because that's the goal I set for last season. It's the goal I set for this one. Anything above 20 would just be great, and getting like 30 would just be a cherry on top. And next is from Zema, Alexander Oskarsson, currently doing pretty well. He's a PPG with the Maine Timber in the SMJHL, and he's a Wolfpack prospect as well, who asks, "What is the most important thing for you when it comes to this league?" And I'd say there's a bunch, of course, making sure that you're nice all the time, staying active. But I'd say I think the biggest thing for me is just being in the LR, trying to stay positive even when your team is going through a rough patch of play, and when you're going through a rough patch of play, and just kind of trying to be a good locker room presence, bring everyone up. I've definitely been guilty in some cases of not being that. I think I've been not like the greatest teammate at times, which is, I think, definitely not good from my perspective, because I want to be the best teammate I can be, and I'd say that's the most important thing for me. And when I'm not, it kind of sucks, because I feel like I'm kind of letting myself down and showing myself to not be the best person I can be, as well as kind of letting my teammates down as well, because I'm kind of being a jerk to them or not being as positive about the team as I should be. So I'd say the most important thing is definitely just staying upbeat and positive. Of course, you want to be a good teammate. I'm definitely repeating a lot of words here, but I think being the best teammate you can be is definitely important. I've been grateful of being on teams where the locker room has been great. There haven't really been any bust ups besides in New Orleans last year after the Serpy thing, which if I don't really like to talk about, because definitely hurt, but you just want to make sure that if you're in an LR, that you're the best person you can be, and you're always positive about the team, because I think it rubs off on everyone, leaves everyone feeling good about their time there and feeling positive about the team's performance, even if you're going through a cold stretch. Because even if you hit rock bottom, the only place to go from there is up. And I've hit the last of my questions so far, because I'm definitely speeding through this. I said on Wednesday that I was going to record, and I'm obviously recording now. So I'm speeding through this, and this is from Phalax, obviously, Evox Co-GM with Quebec, part of the HTT podcast, and a prominent SHN member, who asked, "What is your biggest surprise of the SHL season so far?" I feel like I answered that already, but I would like to go a bit more in depth about why, in my opinion, New England's performance is definitely a surprise. Because if you look at us so far, we've currently played against teams like Hamilton, Manhattan, Chicago. We played Chicago twice. We beat them twice. We played Buffalo once today, and we ended their undefeated streak, which was something I think I said yesterday that I thought we could do, and the fact that we did was just great. We beat Hamilton earlier in the week as well, thanks to a shot clock cheese last second goal from the man Stan Hansen, who has just been clutch for us this season, scoring that winner against Hamilton, and he got an assist on Dominic Montgomery's winner against Buffalo as well. Obviously, going 2-0 so far against the Syndicate helps as well, and we've definitely struggled against some of the worst teams. Lost to Baltimore. Baltimore always kind of seems to be a hoodoo team from what I've heard. We've been better against some of the worst teams. Obviously, we beat Toronto today, and I don't even know if it was like shown on Sim, but we beat Toronto 5-3 today. yesterday. We beat Edmonton well as well in a pretty wild one, 8-6. So I think we've done pretty well against the big teams, bar that 6-4 loss against Manhattan yesterday, and when we got absolutely blown to bits by Manhattan earlier as well on the 28th, lost 4-1 to them. And when New Orleans beat us 5-1 too on the 28th, they absolutely creamed us. But I did score against them, and I said in their LR that I was going to score against them, and I did. So take that, old team. But I just think for us as a whole, we've just had great performances. Ace Franz Eller, obviously been one of the best goalies in the league despite his TPE percentage, because I think goalie is one of those positions where TPE doesn't really matter. Ace is currently at 777 TPE, so he's not the greatest, but he's also S53 and definitely is going to hit 1K fairly soon. And I think he's also benefiting from the defense that we have, because we have a surprising amount of... Our entire top four is over 1K. There's, of course, Bilbo, Dominic Montgomery, Perry Morgan, Fleurion, 1,500. Bilbo's at 1,600. Igor Volkov is at almost 1.2K, and Maximilian Egger is at 1K. And then we have, of course, Sven Ikskaft. I don't know how to pronounce that kind of ball, but he's going to hit 1K as well. He's leading his class in TPE. He's one of the alternates with me as well. Just a great LR presence, great guy. He's building, in my opinion, one of the best young defensemen in the league if we're going by, like, S51 and younger. Besides, like, I think... In the future, he's going to be in company with guys like Akira Wren, Adam Barron, Nicholas Owens, Zlatan, and Adam Ciana, who's in his class as well, Willie Stroman, Jack Hanoff on Toronto. He's going to be one of the best defensemen in the league if he stays with it. And I just think, even though he hasn't been scoring a lot, which you wouldn't expect defensemen to do anyway, he's been pretty good on the defensive side so far. He's got 15 hits, he's got 5 takeaways, and 34 shots blocked already, so he could be a future big piece in fantasy, because he's definitely racking up the hits, takeaways, and shots blocked. Like, maybe he's, like, in a spot that Erson Zimmerman is in now, with all of the shot blocks. Speaking of Erson, he's got 45 shot blocks already. I definitely think we've also had good performance from the top line, as I mentioned before, which is Bruchevsky, Van Otter, and McShoddy. That's 3 1K players, with Bruchevsky playing on the right wing. They're all double digits in points, with Bruchevsky and McShoddy all over a point per game, with Van Otter just 1 point behind. And even the second line, which is me, as previously mentioned, B, Danglechek, and Rafe Ulrich, have all been producing fairly decently. And Shooter McGavin coming out of nowhere to have 7 points on the third line. The clutch master himself in Stan Hansen, who's been moved to center, and his right wing in Aggie. That's Rainbow Dash. It's just, we've had a surprisingly spread out performance points wise from everywhere, and we've had good goaltending from Ace. And even if we have to call on the backup, we have an active one in Mike Rock. Or Mike Rock, I don't know how you pronounce that as well. There are a couple of hard ones. Jabs, who's active, but also isn't really the greatest earner. We can call on an active backup. One of the better backups in the league, I'd say, probably behind. There are definitely better backups if you look at Jesus Christ, who's operating as a backup right now. One of the better goalies in the league, hasn't been getting a lot of time. If you consider backups, I think Rock is probably in that second tier with someone as a young developing goalie, like with Samat Bebitzanov and Olli Saarinen Jr. All of them are S50 and younger, and all of them have a fair amount of TPE and should probably hit 1K at their peaks if they stick with it. So, yeah, it's just been great for us as a whole, and I think even though we're slightly overperforming. If we hold up on this form, we could make the playoffs. And the great thing is, I think that we have no expectations for the next couple of seasons. So no one's expecting us to really do, great. No one's expecting us to be like super bad. We're going to be in the middle. So it's like we're kind of playing like with no weight on our shoulders, just going out there, figuratively going out there in the sim and doing, the best we possibly can. And the last question, why is the boat team bad? Now, if we look at the standings in the SMJHL, I would beg to differ because if you look at the boat team, they're leading the West right now. 9 games, 5 wins, 3 losses, 1 in OT, so they have 11 points. That's obviously the West is much closer than the East, but it's also probably worse if you compare them to teams. I think they can definitely take on teams like Carolina and Newfoundland, who have done really well so far this season. But if you're looking at Anchorage, they have probably the deepest defense in the SMJHL. You have their top four is all 425 capped in Alexei Petrikov, I think it is. I need to check because I'm probably wrong. I definitely got Dubs's two players confused, last two players confused because they are both Petrikovs. I think this one is Alexei. Let me just check real quick. Yep, it's Alexei Petrikov. You have him, Matthew Sauffel, Bork Laser, and Pojo Biscuit all at 425. And that's Bojo, Frick Nasty, and Sauffel, as well as Dubs. You have a 425 capped goalie in Scoochie Stratton, that's Honkers. And you have a 350 capped defenseman as well, S55 in Wearing a Bear, Igor Victory, who was a first round pick, as well as a rookie who's been one of the better earners in that class, and Michael with the check. So that is a deep defense right there. One that I definitely think could produce 6 1K players in the future. You're looking at six defensemen who definitely could be, very good SHL contributors. And of course, Scoochie has been really good this season. If we're looking at his stats, Scoochie Stratton, 4-2-1 with a 2.44 save percentage and an 890, not 2.44 GAA and 896 save percentage. So his save percentage may be lacking a bit. I know Anchorage is definitely prone to having a very good game from Stratton and then kind of losing. But they also have an active backup in Ragnar Chibkin-Tendi, who's 1-1-0. He's played 3 games. He has a better GAA than Scoochie, but a worse save percentage. And the forward core is pretty good as well because you have Cyril Viscock. That's already he's inactive, but obviously he's leading. He's got 8 points so far. Another inactive in Chris Desiran, who has 7 points. And then you look at their active top level earners. You have Santtu Rossinen, 425 capped. Good old Kenny. He has 6 points right now. You have Thor Bjorn Gunnarsson, that's Daft Raincloud, also 425 capped. He has 6 points. 350 capped Turg Turg has 4 points. That's Fishy. And of course, you've got Otay, who has 7 points at 350 capped. And you've even got the rookies doing well. You've got two of the Petrovs and Slava and Vladimir. I think Slava is CK Royal and Vladimir is Muford. So two proven SHL veterans you've got on your team as recreates, as well as Confusion, that's Colin Fuhr, and Haldor Ragnarsson, that's Sleepy. So you've got, they're out of their rookie class this year. You have 5 drafted players, 4 of which are recreates, and one that's in first gen but is active on other sim leagues, and then signing a free agent goalie in Chibkin-Tendi Ragnar, who's another recreate, and a first gen in Limo Peel. That's Ronnie Walker, who's pointless so far. But if I had to say why the boat team is not that and is in fact good, they are just one of the deepest teams in the league. As previously mentioned earlier in the beginning of the podcast, Ass and GA have just done such a good job of running that team. Their drafting has been fantastic over the past 3 seasons. Like, if you look at that roster, you see a bunch of players who I think could go on and be good SHL contributors. Maybe hit 2K if they stay with it as much as I think they will. Anchorage is just a deep team overall, and they're not bad. They're good. They're, of course, leading the West. And that ends it for the Blues cast this week. Maybe I'll do another one next week, depending on the amount of questions I get. Obviously, it's nice to be back recording podcasts and talking about the league for some sort of monetary gain. And I will see you all soon.